She's von dem drunden Jahro. She's von dem drunden Jahro.
That was Gene Redpath singing Willie's Rare, a border ballad. And as I mentioned, we're going to talk now to Poppy Holden, who knows a lot about border ballads. She's a singer herself and a singing teacher, and she is not so far from the borders. She's in the studios of BBC Newcastle in the northeast of England. Poppy, welcome to the music show.
Thanks, Andy. Nice to hear you.
First of all, the borders. What are we talking about exactly?
Well, it's the division between England and Scotland, where for 300 years there was tremendous warfare, wild, lawless behaviour because it was so far from the governing bodies of either country. The land was in contention, it was being fought over, people were on red alert all the time. It was total all-out war. You couldn't trust your neighbours, you didn't know whether you'd still have your sheep and cattle in the morning. You didn't know whether people were going to come and burn your house down. Terrible times. Ended in 1603, the Union of the Crowns.
And the border ballads, do they date from before or after the Union of the Crowns?
People are still writing ballads now. It's a living tradition. But the ones that I am interested in and have focused my attention on are the older ones. I'm more interested in the ancient stories. There are a lot of raving ballads, which are really boys' stories of escapades and gloriously cheating your enemy. Those don't really intrigue me so much. The ones that I like are the ones that pull at your heartstrings, and they tend to be old. They've got gorgeous, beautiful old tunes. Although, again, it's a living tradition, so you can have any tune you like, so long as it fits the words.
Yeah. And what are they about, then, these songs? Because a lot of them are terribly sad, like the one we've just heard, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. Well, the ones that I've been focusing on most recently for a collection called Unquiet Graves are about the way in which love can call across the barrier between this world and the next, and people can come back from the dead and comfort their loved ones. So the wife of Usher's well, for example, her three sons drown while they're away doing her business abroad, and she yearns for them so powerfully that they come back for one night. They have a meal with her, she makes up the fire, she makes a feast, she makes a big bed for them, and she sits down beside them at the bedside with her mantle around her. And they can only stay until cock crow. That's a common factor in all of these revenant songs. They have to leave at that liminal moment when the magical, ethereal time when communication can happen between the worlds. It stops when dawn arrives and they have to go away.
So there's magic in these stories.
Oh, magic.
As well as
yes.
Sadness. And there's violence. It seems to me that people in some ways are able to sing about things that they might not be able to say.
Yes, I suppose it's like fairy tales, only with tunes.
Yes. How did you come to be interested in ballads in general? As somebody who was a coloratura soprano in an earlier life and singing, you know, often quite sort of challenging new music, this seems to be a long way from that.
I know. It's funny, isn't it, how things change as you get older. I did all that esoteric stuff and enjoyed the intellectual challenge. And then, as so many people who did modern music, I moved into the Baroque, like the Fires of London. Most of the members of the Fires of London, Peter Maxwell Davis's group, became Baroque musicians, and so did I. I sang with the Consort of Music, so there I was singing more melodious music and also singing in company with other singers, which was marvellous. And then I had a lot of ill health and I sort of went back to my roots in a way, because I can remember my grandmother had a rather rough Perthshire voice, that she used to sing ballads like Can You Sew Cushions? Do you know that one?
Yes, yes, I know the Britain version anyway.
Oh, well, she sang it rather differently.
I bet she didn't sound like Peter Piers, probably.
Can ye sew cushions and can ye sew sheets? You know, it was really kind of rough. You'll hear Sheila Stewart later on, and her voice is very similar to my granny's. They both came from Perthshire. So it was very rough and tender also, but there was bleakness in that song. You know, what'll I do with you? Black's the life that I lead with you. She's singing to her babies.
Oh, there's so many songs to babies are like that, aren't they? Lullabies tend to be kind of full of pent-up violence that fortunately the child can't understand.
Yes, Moni, oh, you're little for to gee you. Hee, oh, wee, oh, what'll I do with you? That was my granny singing. And then I did some wonderful music. I started my musical life in Adelaide and came back to bitterly cold England. And in the snow, coming back from a fruit farm where I was working, I would turn on the radio when I got home. And I listened to Ewan McColl playing some programs of ballads, the story of ballads. And I was so enchanted by these songs. I had a tape recorder. I recorded them and learned some of those songs. So they were kind of with me all of my adult life. And I used to sing ballads for encores in concerts that had pieces by Wilfred Mellers and, you know, contemporary music. Mm. I would end with a ballad to sort of earth myself, I guess.
Well, look, before we come back to earth, I think we should listen to the stratospheric Poppy Holden from 1973. Because I said you had a coloratura voice. I mean, it really was. How high could you sing?
Well, for parties, I would sometimes do the Queen of the Night's aria up an octave.
Yeah. We've got a little grab here from Bruno Maderna's opera, Satyricon, with the Netherlands Opera, 1973, with Poppy Holden as Scintilla, conducted by the composer. Let's have a listen. And that's a little bit from the opera Satyricon by Bruno Maderna, and that was the incredibly high and squeaky Poppy Holden back in 1973. And she's my guest on today's music show, and we're talking about border ballads, and as you can hear, she's no longer squeaky.
Well, you can understand why a girl would need earthing after something like that.
Precisely. The songs... do they come from both sides of the border, or are they specifically Scottish?
Well, most of the ones that we've had recorded by Sir Walter Scott, basically, you know, he did the donkey work of writing them all down.
In the minstrelsy.
Transcribing. In the minstrelsy of the Scottish Borders, published in 1802. So he did the bulk of the work, and there weren't really the same kind of works of scholarship being done this side of the border. There was the Northumbrian minstrelsy, but that came a lot later, and that's Tyneside songs, really. It's not the same kind of music, but that wasn't the subject of my, you know, that my main focus. I was interested in the borders. And it's odd that I ended up in Newcastle, because I should have gone to Edinburgh or Glasgow, really, to study these things. But Newcastle offered me a place.
Yes, and you're
that's
only
I came here.
You're only a stone's throw away anyway, aren't you?
Oh, very easy journey, yes.
You're a big walker, and I know this because I see your posts occasionally on Facebook and Twitter, and I know that you get out in the fresh air. And, of course, you walk past some of the places that are in these songs. What kind of difference does that make to an understanding of the ballads?
Oh, it's marvellous to actually see the places where the ballads took place. For example, in July, I'm taking a group of friends on a walking tour around St. Mary's Loch, which from which the River Yarrow flows. So that Yarrow song that you heard Jean Redpath singing, that's one of the songs that belongs to that landscape. And all around this loch, there are six ballads which have specifically got their location in Peel Towers or in the clifting of a crag with Jean's song on the River Yarrow. So they all belong there, and we're going to have a wonderful day out walking from one Peel Tower to the next, singing these awfully sad songs.
Wow. So you're making them site-specific. I think it's the current term, isn't it?
Oh, totally, yes. Yes, we'll be worn out at the end of the day, and we'll sit in the Gordon Arms Hotel where Sir Walter Scott used to meet James Hogg, and we'll sing our songs over a glass of whiskey.
Poppy, thank you very much indeed. You must come back to Australia and do your talks around Australia for us. But in the meantime, we're going to hear one more. And you mentioned Sheila Stewart, who you say has got an accent like your granny.
Very like, yes.
This is a song called Twa Brothers. Can you set it up for us?
The story is that there were two boys who were playing together.
Two pretty boys were going to the school.
And one of them, sadly, while they were wrestling, he fell on the knife of the other boy.
And the little penknife slipped out of William's pocket and gave Johnny's a deadly wound. And give Johnny's a deadly wound.
And they tried to mend this awful wound by tearing up a shirt and tying it round the wound, but it didn't work.
So he took off his white Holland shirt, and he tore it from gore to gore, and he did bind his deadly wounds, but they bled 10 times more and more, for they bled 10 times more.
Twa Brothers, sung by Sheila Stewart. It's from the album From the Heart of the Tradition. You're listening to The Music Show on RN.